Well, I definitely don't want to spend a lot of time talking about ourselves or anything like that. I just want to get right into God's Word. But I do want to just say how good it is to be back. And I'm so glad that we have the relationship and the situation here at CBIBC that I can come back. And it's not like a bunch of people hate me or didn't want me here or anything like that, I don't think. But no, it's good to be back and just know that we still love each other and we're partners together in the gospel. And yeah, cherish all of your friendships. And we do live in Kowloon City now, which is a very far cry from the country park in Sai Kung. Couldn't be any more different. It's very loud and congested. So if you happen to be in Kowloon City and you fancy Thai food or something like that, then please look us up, hit us up on WhatsApp. We'd love to hang out. Well, in 1917, Cameron Townsend was 21 years old. He was a second-year college student. When he heard about an opportunity to go down to Guatemala and sell Spanish Bibles to people. He was assigned to go to Guatemala, and he ran into a tribe of people called the Cachiquel. And to his dismay, the Cachiquel weren't really interested in his Spanish Bible for one good reason. They didn't speak Spanish. So one encounter changed Cameron's life. He gave a man a Spanish language Bible, or a pamphlet actually, and the man said, "Do you have one in Cachiquel?" And he said, "No." And the man said, "Well, if your God is so great, why can't he speak my language?" And Cameron Townsend couldn't get over that conversation, so he decided to do something about it. He was a sophomore in college. He quit school. He didn't go back. He stayed among the Cachiquel, and he learned their language. And 14 years later, he gave them the Bible in their language. Cameron Townsend started asking some other people that he knew to kind of do the same thing, and they started a little camp, and it became known as Wycliffe Bible Translators. One quote by him sums up his life, and I hope will encourage and challenge us about what we could do to play our part in God's global purposes. And he said this. He said, "If we will simply do the possible, God will do the impossible." So if a 21-year-old man who never finished college could give a tribe the Bible in their language, what could you do? Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our time. Lord, we thank you that we have life today. We thank you that even though our lifespan is quite short, that you grant us the great privilege of being involved in what you're doing in the world. And Lord, we don't want to waste our lives. We pray that you will use our time together this morning. We pray that you will use your word and that you will squeeze as much glory for yourself out of our lives as you can. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So God is building his church. He is gathering worshipers from all nations. That's what he's doing in the world. But there are still large areas and ethnic groups in the world who have little or no access to the gospel, aren't just areas where there are unbelievers who've rejected the gospel, but literally areas without any access to Jesus. They have no church in their area. They don't know a Christian. They don't have a Bible. And they won't know unless somebody goes to them. Today, what I hope to do is to bring us some encouragement from looking at the lives of some people in the Bible that are lesser known and see how they played their part in God's kingdom purposes. This is needed, I think, because most of us will never go to India. Most of us will never say, let's move to Chakwal, Pakistan, or the Middle East. Most of us would just say, I can't really go there. Some are needed to go for sure, but most people will stay. So if we're going to stay, what are we going to do? We need people to be sent ones and senders. So if you're taking notes, the main idea on the screen is we are all fellow workers in God's plan to redeem people from all of the ethnic groups of the world. So whether you think you are or not, we are all fellow workers in some way in God's plan to redeem people from all of the ethnic groups of the world. And so what I want us to see today, we're going to look at what it means to be a fellow worker who is a supporter, what it means to be a fellow worker, a prayer, and a goer. So let's look at first supporters, our text in 3 John, not a book that we probably turn to that often, but 3 John. Let's look at some supporters we see here. 3 John chapter, or there is only one chapter, verses 1 through 8. Let's read it again. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing that you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. So the first person we want to look at is this person named Gaius. Not many people name their child that today. We know very little about him. What we know from this text is that he was a believer who showed hospitality to some traveling missionaries. And they're likely taking this letter of 3 John back to Gaius because he says, you've done well, and then send them on their way when they come back through. So they've been there, and he treated them really well, and then now they're going back through there, and he says, he gives them some instruction. He exhorts Gaius to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, and that he should support people like these who have gone out for the sake of the name. Why? Because John tells him that we may be all fellow workers for the truth. So Gaius has a role to play. He's not doing the same thing as these guys are, but he is a supporter. He is a sender. He had a part in the ministry to the nations. He used his house, it seems, excuse me, and finances to serve the kingdom. So he's a great example of a simple supporter here in this text. And I want to look at some other ones in the scriptures. Romans chapter 16, Romans 16 verses 1 and 2. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a sister, a servant of the church at Chantria, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Phoebe lived in a town near Corinth and was a help in spreading the gospel in the Mediterranean. We probably don't ever think about her or what her role was, but she probably delivered Paul's letter to the Romans. That's why he says, I commend to you her. She's bringing the book of Romans and going to give it to the church. And she was a deaconess, literally in the Greek, in the church in Trintria. And it says in the scripture here that she was a patron of many. What does it mean to be a patron? She was no doubt a woman of certain means, had money, and used it for the kingdom of God. She was a supporter of work. I'll never forget being in a town, an undisclosed location in mainland China, and I'll never forget a lady that I met there one time who was a Phoebe. She was wealthy. She had a massive house. She was a single lady and had other women staying with her in this big house. I'd never been to a house that big in China before. And she discipled ladies, and she used her money and influence to make sure that all of the historic churches in this town were all refurbished and protected. She was unbelievable. God used this lady mightily at this town in China. She was like a Phoebe. She was a supporter and a laborer as well. So Gaius is a type of supporter. Phoebe is a type of supporter, fellow worker. And yet there are many others who played a role like this. People like Tychicus and Epaphroditus. But theirs was not so much a role of a financial supporter as much as a person who provided member care and friendship and encouragement. Let's look at some scriptures. Tychicus, Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will tell you of everything that has taken place here. So we would think, is that a valuable ministry? Paul says it is. Again, in Ephesians chapter 6, 21 to 22. So, not only in Colossae, but also the church in Ephesus, Ephesians 6:21, so that you may know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. And just a pause here. Some churches don't think it's a valuable ministry to go encourage people. The Scripture says otherwise. The Scripture would say it's a valuable thing to do to simply get on a plane and spend a lot of money and go somewhere to simply encourage some people. So Tychicus' main role here was one of traveling as a liaison between various places, bringing news to the churches, and then taking that news back to Paul. He was sent to encourage, and guess what he did? He delivered the mail. He delivered the letters that Paul was writing. Can you imagine? Now, we have this as the scripture, but can you imagine? That guy is carrying these letters. Aren't we glad that he made the trip and didn't lose them? Another supporter through encouragement was a guy named Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus, no doubt a pagan before, as his name has the word Aphrodite in it. Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 to 30. Look at this guy's life. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. So he's gone from this church to encourage and help Paul, and almost dies in the process. Philippians 4, chapter 14 through 20, we see again, "Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I receive full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. A fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours, Philippians, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God be and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." So what is Epaphroditus' role? He delivered the letter back to the Philippians after giving Paul the gifts that the church sent. So he's a money carrier and he's a letter carrier. And the churches give thanks for him for the part that he could play. Remember, what I said was God is asking us to do the possible. He does the impossible. So our role is to do what we can do, not what somebody else does, what we can do. He risked his life to come alongside of Paul and help. He delivered financial support and was an encouragement to the Apostle Paul himself. So, one major role that we see in Scripture that people can play in God's global purposes is to be a fellow worker in the truth by being a supporter of work, of the gospel work. We see it in many different places. Well, secondly, another way that we can be a fellow worker in the truth is to be a prayer. A supporter and a prayer. Now, we know that Paul gives many places where he prayed, but I want to give you one example of a prayer, somebody who played their part by praying, by looking at the life of Epaphras. Not Epaphroditus, but Epaphras. Colossians chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Now, what we don't know about Epaphras, unless we read chapter 1, is that he actually planted the church in Colossae. Paul says in chapter 1, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Epaphras is the one who first gave the gospel to the church in Colossae. But look here at the way that he played a role later in serving the churches and the kingdom of God. It says this, he is always struggling on your behalf in his prayers that you may stand mature and fully assured in all of the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for Laodicea and Hierapolis. I love this text. You know what the Greek word is here for he's always struggling on your behalf? It's the word agonizomai. Agony. Agonizing. So this was his role. He was agonizing in prayer for the church in Colossae. Think about that for a moment. Think about, does that describe our prayers for the work in the kingdom? Do we agonize before the Lord? It says he worked hard for the churches. So some people are fellow workers for the truth by being financial supporters in the work of the gospel. People like Gaius, people like Phoebe. Some people are encouragers like Tychicus and Epaphroditus. And some people are like an Epaphras, fellow workers by being prayer warriors, agonizing before God on behalf of the work to the nations. I don't know about you, but Epaphras' life is convicting to me. Prayer meetings are becoming more and more rare. Billy and Jean, I'm sure, can tell you of times in the past where prayer meetings were more and more. And these days, where are they? Where are the Christians who will gather together not to have a devotional, not to have a small worship service, not even to study, but to pray? In most churches, gathering together to pray is the least attended of all the things we do. The reality is that we simply have to accept is that most Christians simply believe that prayer is a waste of time. A waste of our time. We vote by our attendance. We look at most churches, when we gather together to pray, people don't come. And yet, it's the one way that most people can serve the kingdom. We should never think, all I can do is pray. I have a friend who gets really angry anytime anybody ever says, well, the least you can do is pray. That's the best thing we can do. We can be supporters for the work of God, We can be prayers. Thirdly, we can be fellow workers in the truth by being goers. Some people were actually goers. People like Aquila and Priscilla. We find this unbelievable couple all over the Mediterranean. Just reading actually this morning a newsletter from some friends back in America. And I was thinking of a couple that I know who just this morning I wrote down in my notes here, they remind me of Priscilla and Aquila. Since I've known them, they've lived in Uzbekistan until they got kicked out. They lived in Kyrgyzstan until they got kicked out. And then they moved to Turkey until they recently got kicked out. And guess what they're doing now? They're going to another nation nearby. We see Priscilla and Aquila all over the Mediterranean. In Acts chapter 18, they're in Corinth. Later on, in Acts chapter 18, they're mentioned again. They're mentioned in 1 Corinthians. In 2 Timothy, we find that they are in Ephesus. And there again, they have a church in their house. This godly couple, we find somehow scattered all over the known world at that time. And they weren't flying on Cathay Pacific. I mean, so they're getting on, you know, boats and sailing at different times all around the place. Romans chapter 16, verses 3 and 5. They are in Rome. So Corinth, Ephesus, Rome. Romans chapter 16, verse 3 says this, "Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house." Here's a married couple, probably had children. We find them all over the place living out their faith, blessing the churches. They were fellow tent makers, if you remember, with Paul. They were a friend to Paul. They were a mentor to Apollos. And he says here that they risked their lives. But don't skip over this phrase too quickly. He says in Romans 16:4, all the churches of the nations give thanks for them. What a testimony. Can you imagine? All the churches of the known Mediterranean world give thanks for this couple. And we praise Paul and all these guys, but we should praise God for people like this. House church leaders, wherever they were, fellow workers for the truth in the world. So time is not enough, brothers and sisters, to mention all who were fellow workers in the truth of the gospel, those who were supporters, those who were prayers, those who were goers, people who we really know nothing about, just names on the scripture, names in history that unless we read the endings of most of Paul's letters, which I encourage you to do, we wouldn't even know who they are. People like Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus, who Paul says refreshed his spirit and the churches. 1 Corinthians 16:17. In Romans 16 alone, listen to these names. Paul gives greetings to all of these people who he knows, who are serving God. Apanatus, Mary, Andronicus, Junius, Ampliatus, Urbanus, Stichus, Apelles, Aristobulus, Herodian, Narcissus, Tryphena and Tryphosa, Persis, Rufus, Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, Neurus, and his sister. People we know nothing about, but who played their part in God's purposes in the world at that time. So I said the main idea is we all have a part to play in God's plan to redeem people from all of the ethnic groups of the world. God isn't asking you and me to do the impossible, though He most certainly will do more through you than you think He can. We must simply, brothers and sisters, do what's possible. We do what we can. In these few short years we have on this earth, we do our part. So the question is this: what is your part? What can you do now, today, at this stage of your life, to be a fellow worker for the truth of the gospel proclamation among the nations? Most of us, if not all of us, we can be supporters. Right? We can be supporters. It's okay to say, I'm not going to go. God has called you to stay here and work a job, but maybe financially or maybe moral support, perhaps member care, perhaps encouragement, you can be a supporter in some way. All of us, if we're breathing, can be prayers. Just think of the good that you can do by struggling on your knees on behalf of some people that you know who are working in difficult places. I don't know if you're like me. Sometimes I feel like this is a personal struggle that I have. I feel like sometimes if I can't do a lot, then I don't do anything. You know what I mean? Like if I can't give 30 minutes to pray right now, then I just won't pray at all. And that's a bad thing. I've been trying to change that. You know what? Maybe you just have 10 minutes while you're riding on the bus to work. You can just take out a little note card or something and just go through and pray for some people. It doesn't take a lot. I've got a stack of papers stapled together. That's a PDF. I'll be glad to give it to you. It's called The 31 Most Unreached Peoples in the World. And it's just something I got beside my bed. And I just try to remember just to pick it up. If I got a couple of minutes before bedtime, just to pray. It doesn't take much. We can all be prayers. It's not a waste of our time to give a few minutes of prayer for some people. Some of us can also be goers. No doubt more people need to go, leave their culture, leave their home than are today, for sure. Find an unreached people group who has little or no access to the gospel. Take your talents there. Take the gospel there. Give your life there. There's a young lady that I know in Hong Kong, and she's late 30s. She's given her whole life to translate the Bible into a language in Southeast Asia. It'll take her a whole life. She's given her life for Christ. As I close, I want to share another statement that I found about Cameron Townsend, founder of Wycliffe Bible Translators, while studying his life. And it really stuck out to me. The article said this about him. Cameron allowed the gospel to interrupt the course of his life. I think that's a great question to ask ourselves. Are we willing to let the gospel or the proclamation of the gospel interrupt the course of our life? I think especially in Hong Kong and in this part of the world where maybe we have a lot of preconceived plans this is what my life's going to be. This is what I'm going to do with my life. To be open to say simply, God, however you want to interrupt my life and my plans, I'm empty-handed. Do with me what you will. Let's pray together. Lord, we are 100% dependent upon you. Nothing that we can do can make any difference or change apart from you. But Lord, we pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll work in each of us and help us daily. Help us at this stage of our lives to think through how we can live strategically, even if that means utilizing our commute for your purposes in some way, and instead of scrolling through ESPN or something else. Lord, give us the right perspective on the days that we have in our life. And we pray that you will, mobilize all of us to be supporters of workers, to be prayers, to struggle on other people's behalf, on our knees, and to be willing to be the answer to our own prayers, and to not say, send those people, Lord, but to say, send me. Lord, thank you so much for CBIBC. Thank you for the work that you've done here over the years. We pray, Lord, you'll continue to use this church locally and globally to bring you glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.